Welcome to Above Par. I'm your host, Kathy Hartwood. I show you how to take more of your talent to the golf course without practicing harder, taking more lessons, or buying new equipment. I show you how to end the frustration of underperforming so you can start playing to your potential. This is where you are going to learn how to think above par so you can play below par. Let's get to it. Hello, my golf friend. Welcome back to Above Par. I hope you're having a beautiful week. I hope you enjoyed watching the Masters. It's my favorite week of the year. I love watching the Masters. I've been several times. I can't wait to go back. I've been there with my brother. I was there with a boyfriend at the time who played. I've caddied in the par three. I've had everything there is on the menu to eat and drink, probably. I just love going to the Masters. So I'm hoping I get that in my future soon. But I got to enjoy it from the couch, which is actually just a great venue, right, to watch because you get to see all of it. If you've ever been to the Masters, you usually are just stationed at one hole or walking around. So I like to see all the play and the coverage. And what I wanted to do today was I wanted to highlight some of the quotes. There were so many quotes. You're welcome to share quotes with me and send them to my email. I love hearing them and seeing them, but I can't do them all. On a lot of mental quotes, I should say, that came out of the Masters. I love that the mental side of the game is getting so much more attention in a positive light. It's breaking its stigma on something to work on and to practice on. It's breaking the stigma that you should just be able to know how to do it, that you should be born that way, that it's not really something that we work on. It is. It's a muscle. It's a skill. It takes intention. It takes time. It takes effort because we're working against our own brain. And golf, as I've said before, just offers up an environment of shaking our hamster cages and freaking us out and waking up all those negative thoughts and putting us into a lot of different emotional states all, within one hole. And the Masters is for sure a place that brings up a ton of different thoughts and emotions. So what I want to do is I want to go through and share some quotes that caught my ear. And I want to point out some of the things that I pulled out of it on things that I talk about on the podcast that you might see the quote and not really realize what's behind it or some of the things that you can take away and what you can learn from those quotes. And that's my intention in this podcast is that you can hear what the players are saying. And I'm going to share some of the things that the players said and connect some of the concepts I talk about in this podcast so that you can utilize them and start applying them to yourself, your brain, and your golf game. And a lot of them are from Max Homa. He's a super vocal guy. He's super vulnerable about his mental game. And he said some amazing things this week. So I'm going to start with Max. So one of the things he said is, if I catch myself thinking about what can go wrong, I let myself dream about what can go right. Okay, that's an awesome quote. That is being really honest that my brain, his, yours, everybody's brain will think about what can go wrong. It's the way it's designed. And what he said in there is when I catch it. So he's saying, if I'm aware of it, and it starts with awareness, which I talk about all the time, you've got to be aware. You got to pay attention to what you're thinking. So if I catch it, then what he's going to do is he's going to let himself dream. Now, the word let, I think, is so important in this sentence or in this quote because he's not forcing a negative thought away. He's not freaking out that he has a negative thought. He's not creating any anxiety or stress or pressure around or shock, right? That he has this negative thought that came up about different things that can go wrong. He's pivoting when he catches it. Right? Talk about mentally pivoting. Right? That means that you catch a negative thought and you choose to think something different that is going to serve you. But the act of letting it happen, letting myself dream, there's no resistance in that. We're not forcing anything. We're not trying to rush a thought away. And the less that we force a thought away or freak out about a thought, we're like, oh, there it is. I'm just going to choose to think this instead. I'm going to let my brain go over there. And we have less resistance. We open the door for things changing and shifting, and it becomes so much easier. So I love this quote. And on the surface, you might just think, okay, he's just going to think something different. But he used some very specific vocabulary in there, catching himself and allowing himself to think something else, letting himself to dream about what can go right. I love that quote. Another Max quote, I came here with gratitude and appreciation that I get to do it, meaning he gets to play here in the Masters. And this is the thing about gratitude and appreciation, is that gratitude and anxiety, there's been studies on this, can't coexist. So when you're out there playing and you're feeling anxious and you can focus on the things that you're grateful for, I would get ahead of it. I would focus on the things that you're grateful for before you go out and play, or the things about the round that you're grateful for. You can't have gratitude and have anxiety at the same time. And him saying this and sharing it out loud, right? He's reducing his anxiety, which for sure the Masters can produce, right? That was really good. Max also said, I'm going to remind myself I'm a dog and I'm ready for this moment. Okay, I'm going to be honest, no idea what a dog means. Said. I was like, at first I was like, is that an acronym? Like, because it stands for director of golf. Like a lot of times I was like, no, he's not using it that way. But whatever he pictures himself being as a dog, like a dog on a bone, or I don't know, that's all him. But the word I'm ready for this, saying you're ready, I'm ready for this moment, creates so much certainty in us. Certainty is a great emotion to go out there and play golf from. Security, safety, I'm ready. But I'm ready is also just a decision. It's just you saying I'm ready, I'm prepared. It's you're just deciding that I'm ready for this moment, that you're not going to let your brain go off and tell you all the different things that maybe you're not ready for, or that you should have practiced harder, or you're out of your element playing in this event. He just decided, I'm ready. Super good. That was a decision that he made. Okay, now I want to go to Terrell Hayton. And this was a really interesting quote. Okay, so he was talking about number 15, and this is what he said. That hole lives rent-free in my head. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And I think it hates me. With the score I produce, because he played the tournament 4 over. Okay, this is such a red flag to me, because I talk about on this podcast, and I talk about in all of my programs, about your relationship with yourself, your equipment, the game of golf, and golf holes. And part of preparing for a round of golf is to scan the holes that you're about to play and make sure you don't have any wonky thoughts that are not going to serve you. If he knew that he had the thought about 15, that he hated it, that's not a great emotion when you stand on 15. That's not a great thought when you stand on 15. Because what's going to happen is your brain wants to prove you right. Your brain's like, well, let's find evidence that you hate it. I'm going to show you how much you hate this hole, right? We're just going to produce some big numbers. The other thing he said here, I tried not to think about it. If he had cleaned up his thought about 15, and doesn't mean he has to love the hole. By the way, you're going to play golf courses where, you know, you hate 11 or you hate 14 or you hate 18. It doesn't matter. You don't have to like a hole. We don't have to like people. We don't have to like clubs. We got to figure out what we want to think about it so that it's useful, so that we can produce the best result possible. If he had gone in and asked himself the simple question, what do I want to think about 15? And his answer was, I want to hate it. And he decides that's going to serve him. Fine. He gets to keep that thought. But he has lots of evidence that thought did not serve him, because he thinks the hole hates him. I promise you, until he starts cleaning up that thought, when he goes and plays in the next Masters, he's going to keep producing big numbers on 15. So one, he didn't clean up. That's part of mental prep that I talk about. Mental prep protocol before you go play in a tournament. It would have behooved him to clean up his thoughts about 15, even if he got it to a point where, okay, I can figure out how to get by on 15. If he knew he was going to shoot 4 over or score 4 over on 15 for the tournament, would you have played the hole differently? I don't know. I don't know exactly the mistakes that he made. But that one caught my ear. That was a negative one that came out about 15 on how he hates 15 and 15 hates him. And he's got lots of evidence of it. And he tried to suppress a thought, which is in contrast to what Max said, where he let the thought go, right? If we let a thought go, it will pass by, like the ticker on the news, like luggage on a carousel. Just let it go by. But what he was trying to do was not look at it and pretend it wasn't there. And it didn't serve him, right? We can't do that. It's not a useful thing to do. Okay, so another good one by Max Homa. He said, I would give most of that to those thoughts just of not needing to be better than I am. I wrote something in my journal yesterday that said, however good I am is however good I am. I don't need to try to be better than I am and just see where that takes me. Okay, one, I love that he's saying that he journals. I encourage everybody to journal and get their thoughts out of their head and write down thoughts that you want to have. It's one of the ways that we get to own the thoughts so much better is by writing them down. And one, we can't read the label from inside a bottle, meaning we can't read our thoughts when they're bouncing around inside our noggin. It helps to get them out of our head and decide what we want to think and what's not useful and doesn't serve us. So I love that he journals. I love that he journals about golf. And I love that he told the world that he journals. The other thing about this is that however good I am is however good I am is managing expectations, right? It's about him surrendering to this is as good as I am. And if this is good as good as I am, I can accept that. I'm not trying to force results of something that I am not. There's a lot of self-acceptance in this, right? He's one of the best players in the world, but I think he was making the innuendo that he was trying to play better than he was and maybe even more often than was possible, right? He's as good as he is. What that does is that takes so much pressure off of our results and our score. We're not putting pressure on our game all day long because we're going to make our results mean something. When you can accept yourself for what you can do and the mistakes that you do make and who you are as a golfer and where your game is, then you're going to go out and take so much more talent that you own already out onto the golf course. So that one was about not forcing results and managing expectations. Super good. However good I am is however good I am. Okay, one more from Max. He said, I'm a very good golfer. I'm going to take that one with me. That was him creating and having and holding a thought that serves him. I'm going to decide that I'm a good golfer. I'm going to take that with me because it feels good and it's useful. And I produce good results with that thought. That was about being intentional about thoughts that we want to think. Hearing some thoughts, finding evidence maybe, and deciding, I'm going to take that with me. I'm going to repeat that to myself. I'm going to remind myself I'm a great golfer as many times as possible. I love that he shared that too. Okay, so the last one is from Scottie Scheffler, the champion. And I'm sure there's a lot of amazing quotes that I could have added to this, but I would have made this podcast really, really, really long. These were some of my favorites. So Scottie said, winning this tournament doesn't change my identity. My identity is secure, right? He was talking about, he just wanted to get home because he's about to have a baby. He wanted to get through the interviews. He doesn't make the Masters change who he is. And I think that's such a huge thing to remind ourselves, you are not your golf game. And because he is not his golf game and he's super secure in who he performs better. He's not making his results mean something about himself, right? Which is something I think we all could learn from. You are not your golf game. You are not a number. You are not your score. All right, my friends, I hope you got something valuable out of that as I gave a little context on some of the topics that I talk about and the things that I heard and some of the amazing quotes from the Masters. Borrow them, shift them, make them your own and use them other than the one about number 15. That one's not useful, right? And see if you can help yourself perform better and feel better on the golf course. All right, my friends, if you need any help with this, you can always reach out to me. Join any one of my programs at kathyhartwood.com. All right, have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday. Bye.